Hello everyone. So we have Yuhai with us talking on Cassandra on full text search, right? So I'm taking this to Yuhai now.
Thank you. Welcome everyone. So let me introduce myself. My name is Yuhai Duan. I'm working as an Apache Cassandra evangelist for DataStax. Who is familiar with Cassandra here? Okay, some of you, not all of you, not a problem. So this is the agenda we have. For those who are not familiar with Cassandra, I have a 5 minutes introduction to Apache Cassandra so that you can understand the full text search implementation. And then I will introduce the demo to show you how it works and do a deep dive into the code. So for trademark policy, from now on, whenever I talk about Cassandra, it means Apache Cassandra, right? The open source project. So 5 minutes introduction to Apache Cassandra. Here I have a cluster of 8 Cassandra machines. Every time you query data with Cassandra, so be it an insert, an update, a select, a delete, or whatever, you need to provide what we call a partition key. So a partition key, imagine you have a table and you have primary key. So a partition key is very similar to a primary key in Cassandra. What happens is Cassandra will apply a hash function to your partition key. It gives you a token, which is a huge numeric value. There are 2 power 64 possible values for the hash. The idea is if I have a cluster of 8 machines, Cassandra will split my hash range into 8 equal intervals, right? And that is how Cassandra will distribute the data. So if I insert the data and the hash value of my partition key is in this interval, Cassandra will distribute the data to C, the machine C. And because my hash function is very distributive, I can guarantee a uniform distribution of data on my cluster. Of course, if I have a lot of data, it is all about statistics. If I have only 10 values, I have no guarantee that all of them will be distributed uniformly. So we have a concept of distributed tables, right? So here I have a create tables with user ID as a partition key. So a partition in Cassandra is a physical row on disk, right? I have user ID, first name, last name, and so on. And thanks to the hash function, each of my partition will be assigned to one machine on a cluster, right? Very, very simple. And now we have the idea of coordinator node. So every time you send a query to the cluster of Cassandra, your query will hit a machine randomly. This machine is called coordinator. The responsibility of the coordinator is to manage a single request, right? So this is not a master or whatever. So in my scenario, it will apply the hash function on the partition key. And because each machine knows the topology of the cluster, it will just push the data to the appropriate machine, right? And if I lose this machine because this machine goes down, anyone in the cluster can be a coordinator for any request. So this was a very quick introduction to Cassandra. No questions so far? Clear. Okay. SASE. So what is SASE? SASE means SS table attached secondary index. So for a long time, Cassandra has a default secondary index implementation, which is horrible. So horrible in terms of performance that I never recommend people to use it in production. Yeah. And now we have SASE is a new implementation. So by its name, it means that the life cycle of the index file is following the same life cycle as the original file of the data. The objective of this new implementation is to provide something more performant and more capable index implementation compared to the original one. So who created this? So it's a contribution from a team of engineers. So there are five people: Pavel, Jordan Wett, Jason Brown, Mikael, and Mikael Kajenman. So those people developed this implementation from their job, and they contributed back to the community. Why is it better than the native secondary index? The reason is, so as I said, it follows the same life cycle as the data file. They introduce new data structure to accelerate the full text search. Now you can use range query on your secondary index, which were not possible with the original implementation. And also you have full text search options. So let's see some demo. Okay. So here I have, so never do that in production, of course. Select count star. So I have a table album in my local Cassandra, which contain 100,000 albums, musical albums, right? Let's see some of them. So how they look like. So here you have the title of the album, the artist, the country, the year in which the album has been released, and so on. And now I want to create some index on my album table to search. So first thing, I would like to do full text search on the title. So I create my index, right, SAS index. Here are the options. I would like to be able to search using substring. So the search mode is contains. And I want also to have full text search options. So I'm using the standard analyzer where I will enable stemming, skip stop word, normalize lowercase, and I specify the locale, which is English here. Okay. I want also to be able to search the album by artist name. So I create another index, contains, so search by substring. And because I don't care about full text search option, so I am using non-tokenizing analyzer. So SASE will not split my artist name into different tokens. Same thing for the country. I want to be able to search on the country of the album and the year of the album. Okay. So now let's see some example. Give me all the album where the title contains song released in USA between the 1940 and 2010. Okay. So I'm using 1, 2, 3 index here, right? So here we are, songs. Oh, and because I have a full text search option on the title, so songs and song is the same thing because of the stemming, right? So here we are. So imagine I put love. Okay, love. Songs of love, and so on. Now, let's say that I want to find any songs which contains the substring love. So I will use this syntax, which is very familiar for you if you are using a relational database, okay? Percentage, so a wildcard. Give me all the songs which contain love as a substring. So let's see. Of course, I have love, but also, let me find it to you. I have some example. Clovers, okay. Right, because clovers contains love, of course. Something more funny. Let's say chair and dance. So I want to find any albums whose title contains chair and dance. Okay, the chairman dances. So we see here the effect of tokenization. Dances, dance is the same word because of stemming. Chairman, chair, the same stem, right? And it works. Great. Demo. So, let's move on. Now let's dive into the implementation. On the cluster side. So as I said, we have a cluster of machines. In Cassandra, secondary index are distributed index. What does it mean? It means that the index will be stored locally where the original data. So imagine that I have an index, a secondary index on the country of the user. I have an user, I have the country, right? So imagine that you have, so my user will be randomly distributed on all machines. I have UK user here, 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 and here. And US user here, everywhere. So on the same machine that I have UK user, I have also the index, which is a reverse, right? Reverse table, where the key is UK and the value are the pointer to user ID. And because we have the index are distributed on the cluster, every time you query the index, you need to scan all the clusters. So that is how Elasticsearch works, right? If you have a cluster of 8 machines or 10 machines in one shard, Elasticsearch will scan the whole cluster. And the problem with Cassandra is we cannot do that. Why? Because sometimes you have a cluster of 1,000 machines in production. For example, with Netflix, they have a cluster of 1,000 machines. They don't want to scan 1,000 machines. So what we have in Cassandra is an algorithm. We are doing different rounds of search. So the first round, we are the coordinator, remember the coordinator, which is the node which receives the request, will issue the query to some machines, right? First round. Concurrency factor 1. Imagine that you want to retrieve 1,000 rows, limit 1,000. And the first round doesn't fetch enough data. Well, the coordinator will issue a second round of query, and now it will increase the concurrency factor, right? And if there is still not enough result, it will increase again and again until it reaches the requested limit, right? And if you don't put any limit, it will scan the whole cluster. So this is the concurrency formula. So it's something really complex, right? So requested limit divided by estimated row by token range. So how can we estimate how many rows we have by machine? So we take the assumption that our data are distributed randomly. So locally, if I have 1,000 rows per machine on my local machine, I assume that I will have 1,000 rows on all other machines, right? So I will not go into details of this formula. It's very complex. You can read my blog post for all the details. So, of course, there are some caveats. If you don't have a restrictive filter on your search, you will hit all the cluster, right? Which is bad. The solution is always use a limit. If you have a table with 1 terabyte of data and billions of rows, you don't want to fetch 1 billion of rows at the same time. So usually people always put a limit, which makes sense, right? Second caveat, 1-to-1 index. So imagine I put an index on user email, right? I want to be able to search user by email address. Or because the primary key is put on the user ID, so I want to be able to fetch my user by email address. So imagine I create this. So the first, I did this query, where user email equals something. First round, no result found. Second round, no result found. So on, until I scan the whole cluster. In the best case, I have one result. In the worst case, I have zero result. Why? Because for one email address, you have maximum one user, not more. So in fact, it's very expensive. In the worst case, you are scanning the whole cluster and you get zero result. So it's too expensive. The right answer for this kind of one-to-one index is to use the new materialized view introduced in Cassandra 3.0. I will talk about this in the next session, right? So the idea of the materialized view is you denormalize your user table and now you put the user email as the primary key. So now it is just a plain read into a table by primary key, which is very fast. But of course, by doing this, you lose the ability to query by range. Last caveat. There is some scenario where you want to fetch all the data or half of your table because you want to perform analytics. Right? You want to group by with, to do some group by, filtering, and so on. So in this case, the right answer for this is using Spark. You install a co-located Spark worker on each of your Cassandra node so that each Spark will query the data locally using the Spark Cassandra connector. So even if you are using the index in this scenario, since the Spark worker is querying local data, you will not scan the whole cluster. Now, so this is how it works on the cluster level, right? Now, locally, how does it work on each machine? This is the standard write path of Cassandra. So when you are inserting a data, Cassandra will write on commit log first, put the data in memory, we call memtable, and then acknowledge the client that it is written. And now, because SASE is following the same life cycle, if you have an index on your table, it will also create an index memtable, right? For each original memtable, now you have an index, attached index memtable. What are the data structure used for the index memtable? Well, if you are using text data type for prefix, we are using Guava Concurrent Radix 3. If you are using contains mode, we are using Guava Concurrent Suffix 3. Okay. And for all the other data types, we are using a modified version of Concurrent Skip List Set of the JDK. Very simple data structure, standard one. Now, what happens when the data in memory are flushed to disk? Well, it is the same idea. The memtable I had in the previous slide will be flushed to disk into an SS table. So the index memtable will be flushed onto on disk index. The same thing happens when you have compaction. So compaction is a process in Cassandra where Cassandra will take your SS table, so your data file, and merge them together to get rid of duplicated data. So every time that the SS table are compacted together, the on this index files are also compacted together. Same life cycle. So, to summarize, index files are built on memtable flush or on compaction. So, to avoid out of memory, what happens is index file, if your index file are bigger than 1 gigabyte, SASE will build chunk of 1 gigabyte temporary file on disk and then merge them together. So the consequence of all this is it is not free. If you use this secondary index, it has an impact on your write bandwidth in terms of CPU, of course. You need to compute all those data structure. And in terms of disk I/O, of course, no free lunch. Now, this is the local write pass, right? Now, for the local read pass, the idea is every time you send a query using the secondary index, first, the query will go through a query planner to be optimized. We will see it later. And then, a query plan will be built. And SASE will load chunk of 4 kilobytes of data from index file into memory and perform binary search. SASE store only the partition key in the index file. So once you get the partition key, you need to go back to the normal standard Cassandra read pass to read the original data from SS table. So in the current implementation, we only index the index only store the partition, the offset of the partition key. So if you have a very large partition, it will not be very efficient. So how does it work? Well, imagine I have an index on my user country. So this is the original data, user 4, user 1, and so on. And on my on-disk index file, I have a pointer, right, to the offset from the beginning of the file for each record. And because the data file SS table are immutable, so in Cassandra, when we flush this data to disk, we never modify it. Either we read it or we compact it to create new SS table, but we never modify it. So the data structure of SS table is immutable. And since it's immutable, we can store offset from the beginning of the file. So it will be very optimized to read the data. Now let's go into the detail of the layout of this on this index. So you have header block, you have a data block where we store the index values. Then you have a pointer block. The idea is to build a kind of B plus 3 data structure. And then we have some metadata. Every block are multiple of 2 kilobytes. Why? Because we want to be aligned with the disk block size. On modern disk, you have the block size, usually it is 4 kilobytes. So the header, we have term size, term min, term max. What is the term? Term is the index value. So imagine I'm indexing the age of user. So in the header, I have the minimum age on my index and maximum age. Why is it interesting? Well, it is interesting so I can skip the index file. Imagine that I'm looking for old people with 30 years old. If 30 years old is less than my mean term, I can skip reading this file. Okay? Now let's look into the data block. Well, the data block is quite complicated. So you have the count, the number of terms we store, an offset array, and then the term block. And each term has a pointer to a token tree block. So the token tree is a binary tree which contains the offset to the original data. The pointer block is used to perform binary search. So when we are writing this data file, we are writing from the bottom up to the top. We are writing data block, and then we take the last term of each data block to build the next pointer block. And the last term of each pointer block to build the next one and one. And so on until we reach the root. And of course, each pointer block is 4 kilobytes long. Now, this is how we build. Now, when we are reading the data from those data structure, we are reading from the root pointer and going down until the data block using binary search, right? So for example, here, when you reach the data block, you can also perform binary search. So if my value is less than term 100, I go here. Is it bigger than term 50? And so on, until you reach the value. Now let's talk about the query planner. The query planner role is to build a predicate tree, to perform pushdown, to reorder all the predicates, to optimize them. So let's see, imagine you have this query, right? Give me all people where age is less than 100, first name like P something, so first name start with P, and first name doesn't start with PA, and age is bigger than 21. So this is the original predicate tree, built from this where clause, right? Not optimized. Because N predicate is associative and commutative, we can merge this block together, right? So we take this and those three N clause and we merge them together. Now we have an exclusion. So I want all first name which starts with P, but not PA. So exclusion can be merged with this predicate as an exclusion filter. So when I will scan the first name starting with P, I will exclude all those starting with PA. So it acts as an exclusion filter for this predicate. Okay. And last stage, we also merge all the H together because N predicate is associative and commutative. So this is the final optimized predicate tree. Some benchmark. So to have an idea about how fast or how performant it is, I run some benchmark on a fake data set. So I bootstrap 13 bare metal machines. Oh, I prefer bare metal compared to the cloud because the performance of the disk is much, much better. I have 6 CPU hyper-threaded, 64 gigabytes of RAM, and 4 SSD in RAID 0. So in fact, I have a bandwidth of 4 SSD combined together with my RAID 0. For my data set, I inserted 13 billion of row. I created one numerical index with only 36 distinct values, 2 text index with 7 distinct values, and 1 text index with 3 distinct values. What does it mean? It means that those indexes are very dense. It means that I have only 3 distinct values for 30 billion of rows. So, extremely dense index. Let's see the result. If I am using one predicate in my where clause, and I fetch, so all those benchmarks have been done using full tab and scan using a co-located Spark, no limit, right? So an analytics use case. If I only give one predicate, I will fetch 36 million of rows, and it took me 600 seconds. The more I add predicates, the less result I have, of course, and the smaller the query time. But look at that. I have less result, less row to fetch from the disk, but still my query time is a little bit bigger. How can we explain that? Well, do not forget that when you are querying data with a secondary index in Cassandra, you need to pay for the cost of reading the index file, right? And somehow reading the index file is more expensive than reading the original file itself. Yeah, sometime. So if you want to fetch, if imagine you have a predicate which is not very restrictive. Give me all user in, I don't know, in China. Imagine the amount of data you will get back. So in this case, maybe it's better, probably better to do a full table scan instead of reading all the index and go back to reading the original data, right? Another warning, be careful with full text search. It has a huge, huge usage of disk space. So on my album country with prefix and non-tokenizer analyzer, my index took me 2 megabytes of data out of 6.8 megabytes of original data. And with my title index, which use standard analyzer and contains, it is huge. So the index file is even bigger than the original file because of the contains. What does it mean, contains? Contains means I want to be able to search by substring. So if you have a very long title, SASE will compute all the substring of this long title and store them on disk, which is very, very expensive. So be careful of the contains indexing mode. So takeaway. People always ask me this question. So how does this secondary index compare to a search engine like Solr or Elasticsearch? Let's be clear. Cassandra is not a search engine, right? It is a database with search capabilities, which is different than a search engine. It will be always slower compared to a search engine. Why? Because we have two paths. One to read the index data and one to read the original data. So by law of physics, if you are reading two files, you will be always slower than reading one file, of course. There is no scoring. There is no ordering. Order by, no. There is no grouping. Group by, order by, it doesn't work with SASE. And the order of the results is a random order. Remember my initial slide where I describe the algorithm to scan the cluster. Right, we start with the first node, and when we scan all the nodes. So the order of the result you get is the order of the token range, which is completely random. So if you don't need all the scoring, ordering, grouping, yes, SASE is fine for you. Okay. You need multi-criteria search, and you don't care about the ordering, grouping, scoring. You need mostly 100 to 10,000, so some limit. You put some limits on your search. You always know the partition key. Oh, this is great, because if you know the partition key, the search will be restricted to a single node, of course. And you want to index static column, because SASE has no penalty since the index static column is attached to the partition. You should avoid SASE if you have a strong SLA on search latency. Don't expect to have the same search latency as a Solr or an Elasticsearch. Don't expect that, right? Or if you need ordering of the search result. If you want to go to even more detail, more technical detail, I have wrote a blog post with a lot of detail about the data structure and code deep dive, so you can go there. I will take question.
Do you have any questions?
Thank you for this talk. I just started to play around with Cassandra, and one thing that is strange for me coming from an SQL environment, that I have to duplicate my data models for some queries. But with this SASE index, can I, instead of remodeling my data, just use indexes and save some data space.
Yeah, so this is the temptation, the classic temptation of everyone. So as I explained before during my 5 minutes introduction, Cassandra is very fast if you query by primary key, right? Go straight to the node and just read the data. We tell people to denormalize because it will be very fast. Cassandra does not support join. Why? We don't want to full scan the cluster, obviously. We introduce Materialize View to help you to denormalize. If you know ahead of time your queries, okay, I want to search people by user ID or by login, and you know for sure that all the queries ahead of time are functionally, because this is your application, it is better to denormalize. Why? Because when you are using an index like this, you may full scan a cluster. And it will not scale if you have a cluster of 1,000 nodes, right? The only reason you want to use this secondary index is when you have multi-criteria search. Imagine that for your user, you have a form where people can search user by first name, last name, by age, by country. It is impossible to denormalize all the combination. It is impossible. So in this case, SASE index is for you. And of course, do not forget to put a limit.
Thank you.
Hi. So you mentioned with the indexes, you mentioned there's a prefix and a contains. Are there loads of different types, like exact matches, numerical, or is the prefix and the contains the main types of index?
Yeah, so prefix and contains are only applies for text data type. For numerical data types, for all the data types, so UUID, date, the only indexing mode which is allowed, accepted, is prefix, which is the default one. No other question? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.